worship folders to hand. Grab a pen. There's a spot on the back of the worship folder for you to take some notes if that's helpful for you. But let me just ask you this question. When was the last time you said, I feel so overloaded. I just can't get it all done. I'm really feeling stressed, and I wish I could just hit the pause button on my life because it's just been too crazy. It's just been too busy. Too many of us today, I think, feel like we're running through life, always rushed, often late, and chronically exhausted. We're overwhelmed by a bunch of different things, and we feel a constant strain on ourselves as well as on our relationships. What we long for is some space in our schedule, some sense of peace in the crazy pace of life, some serenity in the seeming chaos. Maybe you can relate to what some of these Seinfeld characters are trying to cope, or how they're trying to cope with life's stresses. Have a look at this clip.
Serenity now! Serenity now!
What is that?
Doctor gave me a relaxation cassette. When my blood pressure gets too high, the man on the tape tells me to say, Serenity now!
What happened to you, pal?
Joey Stampino and some of the neighborhood kids, they ambushed me with a box of grade A's.
Are you all right?
Oh, no, not fine, fine. Serenity now. Serenity now, serenity now.
So you're using Frank's relaxation method?
Jerry, the anger, it just melts right off. Serenity now. Serenity now.
Oh. Hey, what happened to you?
Serenity.
Serenity now thing doesn't work. Just bottles up the anger and then eventually you blow.
What are you in the... You were in the nut house.
What do you think put me there?
I heard they found a family in your freezer.
Serenity now. Insanity later.
What happened here, Kramer?
Serenity now, serenity now.
Kramer!
Jerry, I didn't hear you come in.
Yeah, the children, they've done some redecorating.
You don't look well.
Huh? Oh, well, that's odd, because I feel perfectly at peace with the world.
That eggs you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Look at me. I stepped on your last rose.
Jerry, come on. Don't get so upset about it. There's always next spring. Would you excuse me for a moment?
Serenity now!
I got it! I beat Braun! Come on, let's see what you can do. Serenity now!
Sadly, simply yelling serenity now doesn't bring us the peace that we long for, does it? Why do we feel this way? What is it that overloads us and makes us feel like we can't get it all done or like we can't ever catch up and we desperately need a break? We're often overloaded from too many activities. If you're a parent with children in school right now, you know what I'm talking about. You're likely prepared to chauffeur your children back and forth to numerous extracurricular activities that you've signed them up for, and even the thought of what's coming at you this fall, it's already stressing you out. There are so many choices that we have in life right now that it doesn't always make things easier for us, does it? Then there's the fact that everything seems to change so quickly. Right? Some of us just figured out how to stop the clock on our VCR from blinking, and then they came out with these things called PVRs. Right? Or you finally just figured out how to use your mobile phone, you got comfortable with it, and they've come out with a newer, better version. They're probably on version 3 of what you originally started with. And the advances in technology also make you that much more accessible, to the point where you might feel that you just can't get away from it all. You're just always accessible. We get overloaded from too much work, too much debt, too many worries. We get overloaded from too much information from the internet and from the media. The pace of life, the speed of life has gotten faster and faster. How overloaded are people today? People today sleep 2.5 fewer hours on average per evening than they did 100 years ago. And the average work week today is actually longer than it was in the 1960s. So we're working longer hours, we're sleeping less. And it seems as if we're constantly rushed, we're chronically late, and we're continually exhausted. Maybe this has all of you, or has some of you, feeling a little bit like Job did, a man in the Old Testament, where he says, I have no peace, I have no quiet, I have no rest, and trouble keeps coming. Sounds a lot like overload. So today we're launching this new series called Breaking Out of Unhealthy Rhythms of Life, Living with Margin. My goal is ultimately to come alongside of you and help you lower your stress and increase your peace of mind. So here's a question for us this morning. What does it look like to make room for life? What does making room for life mean? What does it mean to live with margin? A great author called Richard Swenson wrote a book on margin, and he defines it as the space between my load and my limits. Margin is a buffer, a leeway, a gap of sorts. It's the place that we go to heal, to retreat, to reflect, to recharge our batteries, to focus on the things that matter most. Having margin is essentially having some breathing room in our life, that we have some reserves in our life. And the reality of it is that we need margin in every area of our lives. We need physical margin so that we feel like we're not always running from one thing to the next, that we're not always on, that we're not wearing ourselves out. We need emotional margin for the relationships in our lives. We need financial margin to avoid the pressure of debt. When you have no margin in your finances, it really does a number on you. You need spiritual margin for the handling of the trials and temptations of life. And we need time margin, space in our schedules, or we'll run ourselves into the ground. We're going to take a look at each of these in this series. And if you're looking for some room to live, some space to breathe, if you're looking for more peace of mind in the unfolding of your days, I invite you to commit to joining us for the next several weeks. This could be a really powerful series for you. While I was preparing for this morning this past week, it's funny, by the way, often the topic that I'm going to talk about is the area I'm challenged or tested in that particular week. While I was preparing for today, this past week, I was 2 minutes late for a really important appointment because I didn't leave enough margin in my schedule. And I felt quite convicted about it, as it was the topic that I was preparing for today. I was late, it wasn't good, and I felt really bad about it. And you know, by the way, that there are three ways that you can arrive at an appointment. You can be early, you can be on time, or you can be late. For most of my life, I'll admit, I've tried to arrive on time. But I've often arrived late, like I did at this important appointment this week, because I didn't create enough space in my schedule. I allowed no margin between appointments. I lined them up back to back to back to back. And as I looked at my schedule, I noticed that wasn't the case for just that day, but for most of my week. No buffer between appointments. And as you well know, living on the prairie here in Edmonton, when you're driving from one appointment or place to another, things don't always run smoothly, do they? You hit traffic or a train. There's construction. Or you bump into one of Edmonton's best and brightest drivers who's trying to put on her mascara while talking on the phone and eating a bagel. Or the road conditions aren't great. You're working to avoid potholes the size of small bungalows. And then winter comes. As a result, in wanting to arrive on time and in things not going as planned, I've often felt stressed as I've arrived late. And then the meeting goes along and I feel rushed heading off to my next meeting. I'm not sure if this is happening only to me. I'm pretty sure some of you are experiencing this as well. And instead of being at peace, you feel pressured. Right? Have you ever thought of the cumulative negative effect feeling that way can have on you, the toll it will take on you? Think of the way that it affects your body, your health, your blood pressure. Think of the way that it affects your mind, all the unnecessary stress on your soul. For those of you with multiple meetings daily, do the arithmetic on that and figure out the number of days or months you're putting yourself under unnecessary tension and stress. Just because you're making no room for life, you're not building margin into your schedule. So let me ask you, what would your life look like if you added some space to your schedule? You created some room to breathe by leaving earlier. Imagine arriving at your appointments early with no stress, with time to relax. Imagine picking up your children from school or soccer practice with time to unwind and rest and listen to a song that encourages your heart, or having time to get to know one of the other parents who's collecting their child. Imagine as a result of leaving space in your schedule, of building margin into your life, you feel more relaxed and you have a pervading sense of peace in your life. Is this something that you're longing for? Now, in this series, we're going to take a look at a number of the benefits of living with margin. We'll get into each of these a bit more in the coming weeks, but let me just name a few. If you live with margin, you'll have a healthier mind. You won't be hurried and worried all the time. You'll have some peace of mind. You'll have time to think. Your head will be a little bit more clear. You'll have a healthier body because you know that unrelenting stress actually harms your body. Your blood pressure goes up. Your adrenaline levels go up. Your heart rate goes up. Okay? Your body needs downtime. It needs time to rest. That's one of the purposes of the Sabbath, by the way, which God commands, is that we rest and we rest in Him. Another benefit of having space in your life is that you'll have healthier relationships, because relationships take time. If you build margin in your life, it'll give you more time to enjoy your family, your loved ones, your friends, to build those relationships, to sit around, to talk, to listen, to comfort one another when you need it, to have fun together. When you have no margin in your relationships, you start skimming, and your family and your friends don't get the best of you. And then you wonder why things aren't going so well with them. Families without margin experience more conflict. It's the natural outworking of not taking time for one another, to be really present with one another, to be attuned to one another. And another benefit is that you'd simply be more available to God for Him to use you, to work through you, to impact other people. God can use you when you have margin in your life. When you are overloaded, when you are zeroed in simply on surviving with little awareness of what's happening around you, it's tough for God to work in you and through you. You don't have anything to give. You're too busy. You're too busy to care, to serve. You're too busy to hear what God is wanting to say to you. Some of you, if God wanted to get a hold of you and call you with some good news, He'd likely get a busy signal. And this is why we're going to take some time in the next few weeks at this time of the year, when we're kind of packing our schedules full of things. We're going to talk about this to help each of us make room for life, to live with less stress, with more peace of mind. And I think, you might not want to admit it, but I think a good number of you are ready for this. So this morning, we're going to take some initial steps to making room for life, to intentionally build in some margin into our lives. Some of these we're going to come back to and look at in more detail in the coming weeks, but I want to just give you an overview today. So here's the first step in making more room in your life, and that is to accept your limitations. Out of the gate, you need to remind yourself that you're not God. You're not even Superman. And if you're trying to manage your image to get other people to think you are, you're not. And we see the cracks in your makeup, and we see the seams in your supersuit unraveling. Don't try to fool us. But the reality is, the truth is, some of us secretly think that the rules don't apply to us, that we're invincible, that we can keep going and going and going and going without rest and recharging. But the truth is, we're human. We're finite. We have limits. We're not indestructible. Take a look at what the psalm writer of Psalm 119 has to say. I have learned that everything has limits. I'm sure by now in your life you've learned that you have limited time, you have limited money, you have limited wisdom, you have limited energy. Everything in your life has its limits. The thing is, some of you don't believe that because you've bought into what some of the voices in our society say, in our culture say, that you aren't limited, that you can do whatever it is that you want to do. Have you heard this? Right? Well, that's just not true. We can't do anything we want to. And parents, it's probably prudent that we tell our children that in a very loving way, Right? The kids who don't hear these things are the ones who grow up and end up humiliated on American Idol saying, well, my grandma told me I sing like a bird. Well, you do. You sound a little bit like a wounded buzzard. You should probably avoid all microphones in the future. Okay? Don't want to be disparaging anything. We have to get our kids to lean into their potential, but we have to say you can't do everything that you want to do. We have limits. Most of us aren't going to play in the CFL or the NHL. Most of us are not going to play in the ESO or the Berlin Philharmonic. Most of us are not going to be in a band or a group that tours the world and makes millions. I mean, I hope that works out for you, but I wouldn't hold my breath if I were you. We all have our limitations, and success is doing what God has created you to do. God is the author of our limits. He intentionally gave each of us limits for our own good, our own protection, and He knows best. If you ignore those limitations, you're the one who's going to get hurt. Unfortunately, we're not very adept at knowing our limits. We usually overestimate our abilities and our limitations, don't we? We don't always abide by our physical limitations. We think we have more energy, more strength, more power than we do. You know, we can't just go out and run a marathon without training, unless you really want to injure yourself. We don't have an unlimited supply of energy. We don't have unlimited hours that we can sleep and gain strength. We have physical limitations that we need to be aware of. We also have emotional limits, right? These are a little bit harder to identify, but the emotional limits in your life really affect your relationships. You can't carry an unlimited number of people emotionally. You cannot be everyone's go-to person, the one who walks with them through their dark valleys. We have our emotional limits. We have our mental limits. There's a limit to how much information that we can handle, how much we can process. Right? Many folks today are feeling so overloaded by the flow of information from the various media, from the internet, from the cell phone, from TV, radio, whatever. It can be all too much. And you can start shutting down. Scientists are studying this right now, by the way, and the damage that it does to our minds, to our attention spans. What we need is a filter. And we'll talk about this another week. But one of the biggest ones that we have is our time limitations. Job again says, our time is limited. You, God, have given us only so many months to live, and you have set the limits that we cannot go beyond. Your day will never have more than 24 hours. You have time limits. Just like when the battery on your mobile phone, by the way, starts to die, it warns you. It says, it's time to recharge. You need to plug me in. Right? Some of you don't pay enough attention to the warning lights flashing in your life. Warning lights like pain, like stress, fatigue, irritability, anger, apathy, loss of enthusiasm, loss of joy. Right? These are warning lights that are saying, hey, listen, you need to slow down. You need more margin. So step one is just to recognize that as human beings, we have limitations. The second step, if we're going to live with margin, is we're going to have to address why we're overloaded. We need to do an honest evaluation of ourselves and ask ourselves very plainly, what is it that is driving us to overload in our life? We have to evaluate our motivations, right? And the Bible has a lot to say about motivation. It even tells us that people overwork for many different reasons. Some people overwork out of insecurity, others out of fear, others out of envy, others out of a desire to impress others. And we'll touch on this in the weeks ahead. But let me just give you one verse here. It's from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 8. It says, some people are never satisfied with what they own, and they never stop working to get more. They should ask themselves, why am I always working to have more? What a senseless and miserable life. Now, if you're going to learn to live with margin, you're going to have to address why you're doing what you're doing. Why are you feeling so overloaded? Why are you packing your schedule so full? Here's a third step. If we're going to build margin into our lives, we're going to need to anticipate problems and delays. I think we know that there are going to be problems and delays in life, but we certainly don't act like it, do we? We know that rarely things go exactly as planned, but we still somehow think and act like they will. We know that there's going to be a traffic, but we don't leave enough time. The neighborhood my family lives in is sandwiched between two rail lines, the main train line that runs parallel to Gateway Boulevard and the LRT tracks that run along 111th Street. We live kind of sandwiched there in that lane. We have a special word for it, but I'm not allowed to say it in church. And there have been far too many times one of us or all of us left on time for an appointment only to find ourselves waiting at a railway crossing, waiting for a train to leave or arrive in the city, or for the LRT to finally pass by. And we've made an interesting observation along the way. If the appointment that we're going to is like really important and we need to be on time, inevitably there will be a train that we have to wait for, sometimes for what feels like hours. But if we've got nothing but time and we're not in a rush, there's no train. Part of living on margin involves thinking and planning ahead. The Bible actually says that that's a mark of wisdom. Sensible people will see trouble coming and avoid it. But an unthinking person will walk right into it and regret it later. We need to plan ahead. We have to anticipate problems and delays. That will help lower our stress and increase our peace of mind. And another step to living with margin is simply to be deliberate about adding space to our schedules. It's wise to build in some buffer zones, some downtime. We need to be intentional about doing this because most of us are in charge of our schedules. And we are the ones who are guilty of putting more and more stuff into an already busy life. And we have to ask ourselves why and then create space in our schedules. Right? It's much like learning to live with financial margin. You pay God first and then you pay yourself second. The same should be true with your time. You give God the first part of your time and yourself the second part of your time to re-energize and refresh. And then you use the time that's remaining for all the other commitments, for all the other things. And I know that it might not happen in that order during the day, but it can be prioritized into your schedule that way. We need to leave some space in our schedule. It's unwise for us to fill our days with activities that go back to back to back. Right? We can't cram every hour, every part of the day full of activities. We need to build in some rest. Psalm 127 verse 2 says, "It is senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, fearing that you will starve to death. For God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest." Okay? Allow that to sink in. Allow that to wash over your soul. God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. The faster you go, by the way, the more margin you're going to need in life. It's much like driving a car or a motorcycle. The faster you're going, the more space you need to leave, to slow down, to stop. Right? The Bible tells us that not allowing space in your schedule is foolish. Again, the writer of Ecclesiastes says this, "Only someone too stupid to find his way home would wear himself out with work." I'm sure I'll be hearing that one at home this week from one of my boys. All right, the author of Ecclesiastes, though, is simply reminding us that life is a journey. It's not a sprint. It doesn't matter who's running the fastest. It's not about speed, how fast you live. It's about how well you live, how deeply you live. That's what it means to live on margin. And the fifth step in making room for life, and this will likely be the most challenging one for numbers of you here this morning, and that is to cut back my activities regularly. I need to prune my activities regularly. Just like a vintner or a viticulturalist regularly prunes the vines to increase fruitfulness and growth, we need to do the same with our schedules. Cut back some of the activity. Some of you are heading into a time where you might be doing this in your gardens. You're going to be doing some pruning. You're going to be doing some cutting back. You're doing it with your plants and your trees, but you're not doing it with your schedule. Every season of our lives seems to sprout new activities, but you can't keep adding new stuff without taking out old stuff. Right? You put too many irons in the fire, and you're going to put the fire out. So periodically, you've got to do some pruning for greater fruitfulness. You've got to cut some stuff back. You've got to create some space in your schedule. Right? Jesus talked about this concept in the Gospel of John. He talked about pruning, being pruned for greater fruitfulness, for more growth. So if you want to make more room for life, if you want some space in your schedule, you want to add some life to the rhythm of your days, You don't just want to prune the dead branches, so to speak. You'll have to cut back some of the living branches, some of the overgrown stuff, some of the stuff that's crowding life in. Ecclesiastes again says there's a time to keep things. There's a time to throw things away. Ask yourself, what is it that I need to cut away? What is it that I need to throw away? What activity do I need to stop? What activity do I need to prune? Where do I need to cut back in my life? The writer of Hebrews puts it this way. He says, we should remove from our lives anything that would get in the way and the sin that so easily holds us back. Right? He's not just talking about cutting back, cutting out sinful behaviors, things that keep us from pursuing a life of virtue. He's talking about the stuff that simply gets in the way of living the life that God intends us to live. I venture to guess that you could probably cut out a number of your weekly commitments or some of your children's weekly commitments and be the healthier for it. Not everything that you're doing might actually be good for you to be doing right now. If you don't have the time to get it all done, or are exasperating yourself attempting to get it all done, something likely needs to be cut back. 1 Corinthians 6 says this, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. What this verse is saying is that with our freedom in Christ, some things are not necessarily wrong, they're just not necessary for us to be doing. Good things can keep you from the better things. We need to learn how to say no, probably to some good things, so that we can enter into a healthier rhythm of life. There's a great verse in the book of Joshua that I stumbled on some weeks ago as I was reading, where Joshua talked to the people right after they had disobeyed God in a military campaign while they were taking territory in the promised land. They were told to kind of demolish everything, to not take anything. And some of them took some idols. They took some things that they weren't supposed to. And sin came into the camp. And Joshua said this. He said, some of you are keeping things God commanded you to destroy. You will never defeat your enemies until you throw away those things. They kept them as idols. And we do the same, folks, with our schedules, with our money, with our relationships. So let me ask you this morning, what are the idols in your life? In your schedule, where you say, I can't cut this from my schedule. I mean, I just have to watch that TV show. I have to watch that Netflix series. What are the idols in your budget? I just have to buy this thing, even though I don't need it. And it's really money that I should be giving back to God. Maybe there are some things that you just need to cut back. Some activities you need to not do. Some purchases you ought not make. A sixth step, likely the most important of all, is to adopt Jesus' rhythm for life. If you want to enter into a healthy rhythm of life, one that lowers your stress and increases the peace that you experience in your life, get acquainted with Jesus and learn from him. Matthew 11:28 and following verses is one of the most powerful passages in this regard. And we'll come back to it in future weeks. But these are Jesus' words to you this morning. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. You know, by the way, there isn't one example of Jesus in Scripture where he checks his watch and he says, yikes, I'm late. There isn't one time we see him running or rushing to an appointment. He was always at the right place at the right time. He says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, Jesus says, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Maybe make a note of those verses and read them every day to see that Jesus is inviting you to a life that might look a whole lot different than the one that you're living right now. And finally, if you accept Jesus' invitation to walk with him, then you can choose to abide in him. That means to rest in him. to make it a priority of your life to stay with him, to stay close to him, to stay attuned to him, to make time to meet with him daily, where he comes and he just fills your soul and he gives you peace of mind and rest of spirit. And then weekly, as we're doing here, where we gather as his children to worship. Jesus said in John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, there's the abiding. If you abide in me, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is going to be an important series for us here at Grace Point and for those who that we're connected with. So we invite you to bring them, because too many people in Edmonton are living without margin in their lives. If you embrace this teaching and what's coming at you in the next weeks, it could radically change your life. So I really do hope that you will make a commitment to be here every week. It may add years to your life. It's certainly going to make your life more enjoyable as you learn to live with margin, making room for your life. For some of you, it's going to create space in your life to connect with God in a very real way for the very first time. Or it will allow others of you to reconnect with God, to get back into that rhythm of relating to him that gives you life. Some of you, you really need this series, and you know who you are. So I encourage all of you this week to take some time to walk through the discussion questions that are on the inside of your worship folder. If you take your worship folder to hand, there's a Think On It section there. Take some time this week to walk through those questions. We'll be doing that tonight with the young adult group that's meeting at our home. Those are the questions that are prepared for you every weekend to take what you've heard on the Sunday morning and then take it with you into the week to think a little bit more deeply about these things. And when you meet with your family, when you meet with your friends, your spouse, and have a frank discussion about these questions, you can help one another put into practice what we've talked about this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know all of us have lived without margin in our lives at one time or another, or for so long, we can hardly remember what it was like to not feel stressed, to feel pressured, to feel fatigued all the time. But we don't want to live that way anymore. I'm praying that you'll give every person here today the courage to take these initial steps that can bring a healthy rhythm back into our lives, our schedules, and our relationships. And now I'm going to pray, and you can pray along with me, and you can say, yeah, this is for me, God. I feel the same way. If this prayer reflects where you're at, you can say, Father, I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of feeling rushed. I'm tired of being late. I've grown weary of being exhausted all the time. I really have too many irons in the fire, and I need your help to get out of the mess that I've made for myself. Heavenly Father, would you help me recognize and accept my limitations? To understand what it is that I can and can't get done? Would you assist me by your Spirit to ask the tough questions of why I'm driving myself the way that I am? Why I'm propelling myself to overload, to fill my life so much, to overbook it? Father, would you help me to add some space in my schedule? I need breathing room. I need the margin. I know that I can't do it all, but I need your wisdom in deciding what matters most. Help me to make those decisions. You can tell God right now, God, I don't want to waste my life. I want to invest my life for you. Please give me the courage to say no to the unnecessary things and the courage to say yes to the right things. And Father, most importantly, would you help me trust you more? I want to walk with Jesus. I want to abide in him and learn from him. And Jesus, I thank you for your invitation to enter into the unforced rhythms of your grace. May I take a step this week to connect those dots. Forgive me for thinking and acting as if everything depends on me. It doesn't. Depends on you. And I ask you to use this series in my life to bring me to a place of greater faith, of greater intimacy with you, a place of less reliance upon myself. I want to honor you with my life. And I want to have space in my life, room in my life to experience you as I live moment to moment. And I'd really like to make an impact for you in this world. I pray that you would assist me by your Spirit. And I ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.